This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep is on assignment in New Orleans. I'm Renee Montaigne. Today in your health, surviving a heat wave. It's cooling off in Chicago and Boston, but it's expected to hit 100 in Topeka today and 104 in Tulsa. The National Weather Service says it will stay hot for the rest of August, especially for the central and southern states. In a moment, we'll have some health tips for serious athletes. For the rest of us, here's NPR's Joe Palca on who's most vulnerable to the heat and why.
It's been an extremely hot summer, but I bring you good news.
Human beings can tolerate extremely high temperatures.
Larry Kenny is a professor of physiology and kinesiology at Penn State University and State College.
There are stories from the late 17th century of a physiologist who went into a chamber heated to 221 degrees Fahrenheit, taking with him a dog, a steak, and some eggs. And 15 minutes later, the eggs were baked, the steak was done to a crisp, and the man and the dog walked out unharmed.
To pull off this amazing heat tolerance, Kenny says our bodies have evolved a very sophisticated system of pumping blood to the skin.
And then activating sweat glands in the skin to produce sweat, and as long as that sweat can evaporate, we have a nice cooling mechanism that works very much like the radiator of a car.
But like turning on an air conditioner, there's an energy cost to keeping our bodies from overheating. When we pump blood to the skin so it can be cooled by evaporating sweat, Kenny says our hearts have to work harder than normal, and that can pose a problem for older people who may have weaker hearts.
What happens in heat waves in American cities that results in a preponderance of deaths among the elderly is those people don't die of heat stroke or dehydration. They tend to die of heart-related complications.
In addition to the elderly, people with congestive heart failure also have special difficulty handling the heat.
Congestive heart failure is the inability to appropriately increase the amount of blood that's coming out of your heart.
Craig Crandall is a physiologist at the Institute for Exercise and Environmental Medicine at the Presbyterian Hospital of Dallas. He says to get blood close to the skin's surface, the blood vessels in the skin expand. The technical term is dilate. He says not only do people with congestive heart failure have trouble pumping enough blood to the skin, they also have trouble dilating their blood vessels once it gets there. And there's another point to consider here. Crandall says if lots of blood is going to the skin to try to cool the body, there may not be quite enough blood going to vital organs like the brain. And if something is forcing blood away from the brain already, you've got a problem.
They found back during World War II, when planes were taking sharp turns and the pilots were really hot, they're more likely to faint.
Recreational drugs can also make it harder to cope with the heat. A few years ago, Crandall gave 7 volunteers cocaine and then put them in a warm room. He found not only were they not as efficient at sweating and pumping blood to the skin, they were also less likely to notice they were becoming overheated.
And so if somebody takes cocaine and goes out and plays basketball or just goes to the fair or whatever out in a hot environment, they're not going to seek a cooler environment as early as somebody who didn't have cocaine, and thus they're much more likely to have a heat-related injury.
Now, we've been talking about getting an adequate amount of blood to the skin surface. But remember, there's a second part to the cooling equation. You have to sweat. And just as important, the sweat has to evaporate so the blood will be cooled. Firefighters who wear heavy suits, or football players with plastic pads, can get into trouble because even though they may sweat profusely, the sweat can't evaporate. And if you sweat a lot, you have to make sure you're getting enough liquid to replace what you've sweated away. Larry Armstrong is a professor of exercise science at the University of Connecticut's Human Performance Laboratory. He says unless you're training for a marathon or trying out for left tackle on the Washington Redskins, you don't have to do anything special to make sure you're getting enough fluids.
Most of the water that we replace really comes during meals because as we eat, we drink right along with the meal to aid digestion, and the food causes a dryness in the mouth, which enhances the desire to drink.
And if you do need extra fluid, pretty much anything will do. Armstrong says many people believe drinking caffeinated drinks in the heat is a bad idea, and that's not so.
We've published 5 research studies in recent months that show that caffeinated beverages indeed do not dehydrate the body when you're consuming them in moderation.
Armstrong says caffeinated beverages have gotten a bad rap because they make you urinate.
The same thing happens when we drink a large container of water. Does this mean we shouldn't drink water? Of course not.
So go ahead, have your coffee, and try to keep your cool. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.